athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Look, got a lot to get to on today's program. As a matter of fact, the National Football League draft going to take place beginning on next Thursday. We've got a couple of prospective draft D's that are going to join us here on the program. Sundiata Anderson, a three-time All-SWAC performer for Grambling, an edge rusher, going to join us today here on Box to Row to talk about his preparation for the National Football League. Also joining us today here on Box to Row, Mikey Victor of Alabama State, defensive back, has gotten a lot of interest. He's also going to join us today here on the program. This is just an exciting time. And in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Morgan Price. Morgan Price is a member of the Fisk University gymnastics team and won a national championship. And I'm interested to talk with her because she's got, from what I've read, she's got a pretty good story. She had committed to a really big school, decommitted from that school once she had talked to Fisk University. The coach at Fisk joined Fisk and now is a national champion. So again, Morgan Price going to join us in about 15 minutes or so today here on Box to Row. So you can see the table is set in terms of our guests for today. And if you want to participate here on Box to Row, hit me up via Twitter or X at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Also on Facebook, BOX, the number 2 ROW. Give us a like or a follow while you're on Facebook or X. And of course, you can also hit us up via Instagram at Box to Row, BoxToRow. So you've got the NBA play-in situation. And as a matter of fact, we're here at the NBA playoffs. The NBA play-in situation is what it was. And look, I'm going to tell you what, I think the Lakers were really fortunate. The LA Lakers really fortunate to escape that game against New Orleans. Zion Williamson gets hurt towards the end of the game, and I felt so bad because he had done well all season. This season has been as healthy as Zion Williamson has been throughout the course of his career. He was having a dominating basketball game. He couldn't be checked. 40 points in the basketball game. And I watched that game. And look, I know the Pelicans had, you know, as much as a 10-point lead. The Lakers came back, erased it. They got the Pelicans. And big shots out to our affiliates in the Big Easy in New Orleans, WAMF, those that listen to us each week. It had to be frustrating because for a couple of reasons. One, you got nothing from Brandon Ingram. You didn't get much from McCullough. I mean, he just didn't provide much to you when you really needed it. Yet, the Pelicans hung around behind the play of Williamson. Then he goes down and gets hurt. And I think once he went down, it just wasn't going to happen for the Pelicans. The Pelicans could have gotten in to the playoffs at that number 7 seed against Denver. And I truly believe if Zion had continued to play in that ball game, the Pelicans would have won that ball game. When he went down, I didn't think they were going to win the ball game, and they did not. And I'm going to tell you what, D'Angelo Russell with that big three-pointer. I think it put L.A. up by like 4 or 5 points late in the game was huge, and he was really big. I mean, look, he's a guy that just a year ago had a poor postseason. Poor postseason. He came back, made amends, shot well throughout the course of this season, and then carried that over into that play-in game against the L.A. Lake, against the Pelicans. You get that. And then Brandon Ingram didn't play well. As a matter of fact, was benched for the majority of the fourth quarter. This is a guy that's been an all-star and did not show up for the Pelicans. And I feel for you guys in the Big Easy. This was should have been a year to really, really compete. And losing that game to the Lakers could have meant a playoff appearance right away. Now, what's the prize for the Lakers winning that game? Again, fortunate to escape with the victory. LeBron wasn't great, but he was good enough. Anthony Davis wasn't great, but he was good enough. D'Angelo Russell was really, really good. Some of the other players played well as well. But what's the prize now for the Lakers? You get to play the defending champion Denver Nuggets now. And look, I think the Lakers are going to give the Nuggets a little bit of a go. I mean, but look, all hands have to be on deck in this game. All hands. Hachimura has got to step up. Austin Reeves has got to step up. And we've seen where Reeves has been, really, when you look at right before the second half of the season, he started to play well. He didn't play well, really, to open the season. You know, Hachimura did not do as well as he did when we saw him in the postseason on last year. And so hopefully that'll kind of carry over, and we'll see if that, in fact, does carry over this season or this postseason for Hachimura. But, you know, Anthony Davis, you got to get something more from Anthony Davis. You know, LeBron's going to be LeBron. And then if D'Angelo Russell can be consistent, then the Lakers may have an opportunity. But I definitely think when you're talking about the Nuggets, and I get it, the Celtics have been, at least from a record standpoint, I mean, they've been the best team in the league. You could argue that they haven't had the best season, but they've been the best team from a record perspective. And then when I look, you know, at Denver, Jokic is, just unbelievable. He can do everything. Jamal Murray hitting on all cylinders. And, I mean, that team is like seven deep. I mean, it's just I just don't think that the Lakers are going to be able to get it done. But, look, that play-in situation, very exciting. And then you look at the playoffs, right? And look, the 76ers, I think, are a very dangerous basketball team. I know, look, if you listen to national media, because most national media are New York people. The most, like when you see these guys on ESPN and all of that, it's New York people. So it's all about the Knicks. But look, the Knicks are not the center of the NBA. As a matter of fact, you know, you've got a Northeast battle when you're talking about Philadelphia. You're talking about New York. As I talked about last week, this is a New York Knicks team that isn't 100%. And you're looking at a 76ers team that I think the 76ers come out of this with the victory in this 2-7 matchup for a couple of reasons. One, Embiid. I mean, he's healthy. Yes, he's not in as good a shape as you would like for him to be, but I think he's going to be good enough. So the 76ers just got by Miami when you're looking at a Jimmy Butler who wasn't 100%. Okay, that's fine. The fact of the matter is the 76ers did what the 76ers needed to do to win that basketball game. But look at all the other pieces. Maxey's been really, really good, an all-star this year. Nick Batum was really, really big in that game. And When I think back, and Charlotte Hornets fans are going to understand what I mean when I'm talking about Nick Batum. The Hornets signed him, I don't know, it's been maybe 6 years ago, to that max deal. And it was a risky move because, and this is what has happened to the Hornets. Like, Batum's not a max player, but the Hornets really didn't have a choice because he's a really, really good player. And so he never really materialized with the Hornets. He left the Hornets. I don't remember if he was traded, if his contract ran out. He signed with the Clippers, did well. He's a role player that can play, that presents matchup problems for the Knicks. You've got some other players on the 76ers team that can really create some problems. Tobias Harris, again, you talk about a max player. I never thought Tobias Harris was a max player, but he's a really, really good player. And so he's going to have to really step up. But you know, the guy that I really, really like, that I've been watching for several years now, is Kelly Oubre. And he can shoot. He's athletic. He can defend. He's not the best defender. He's a solid defender. And he was really, really good against Miami. And that doesn't even count Buddy Hield. Like, Buddy Hield, that was a nice trade for the 76ers. And I think it's going to pay dividends for the 76ers, not just against the Knicks, but throughout the playoffs. You talk about one of the best and most lethal shooters that we don't even talk about in the NBA. You're talking about Buddy Hield. So we're in this playoff mode with the NBA as the playoffs officially begin on Saturday. Still to come here on Box to Row, we're talking about prospective NFL draftees. We're going to be joined by Grambling State's Sundiata Anderson. We're also going to be joined by Alabama State's Mikey Victor. But up next here on Box to Row, we're going to be joined by Fisk gymnast and national champion Morgan Price.
More of Box to Row with Donald Ware is on the way.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinance through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341, 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Former North Carolina Central quarterback, current NFL draft analyst for ESPN, Jordan Reed. Is there any reason to believe Caleb Williams will not be drafted number one by the Bears?
I would be really surprised if he's not, and all signs point to Caleb being the number one overall pick. He's done everything that he's needed to do. They're really enamored with Caleb during the pre-draft stuff. We saw the contingents showing up at his pro day. Keenan Allen, who was recently traded from the Chargers to the Bears, showed up at the USC pro day. And Donald, I would be really surprised if that's not how it turns out on day one of the draft.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports, and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
gonna find. We've got a national champion in the building, as a matter of fact, here on Box to Row, joined by a young lady. As a matter of fact, again, winning a national championship at the USA Gymnastics Women's Collegiate National Championships, which was held in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And the first time ever, this young lady is a member of the Fisk Gymnastics Program, which just started like last year. The first time ever an HBCUer has been a national champion. Morgan Price of Fisk joins us here on Box to Row. Morgan, congratulations and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. What is this last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days been like for you? Must be crazy.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. A little hectic, but overall, I'm just super proud of myself for what like I accomplished. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what an accomplishment. I mean, what did it mean to be the first HBCUer ever to win a collegiate national championship in gymnastics?
It means everything to me. It really like shows why I decided to come to an HBCU. I really wanted to just inspire the younger generation so that they know they can go to an HBCU as well and win competitions, no matter how big or small your school is.
You know, I have to laugh. You say the younger generation. You're only 18 years old yourself, right? So you're like, I know what you mean, though. I get it. Younger girls, yeah, that are coming kind of behind you. You know, you're a trailblazer like that. I mean, I know it's kind of fresh. Has all of that sunken in yet? I mean, you've done ABC New. You're doing our program. But you've done all of these other different, you know, conglomerate media opportunities. Has it fully sunken in yet?
I definitely feel like it has. I've done a lot of interviews. A lot of people have just reached out. So I really do feel like it is sinking in. It just feels amazing, a little overwhelming, but at the same time, just so amazing and blessed just to be able to do what I did in like such a short amount of time.
Yeah, you're finishing up what your second, my understanding is you're in finals right now. You're finishing up your second year at Fisk?
Yes.
So how are the classes going? Because you entered college at the age of 17, really just turning 17.
Yeah. It was crazy. I turned 17 right before I came to college because I graduated high school a whole year early. Finals are going good. I'm almost done. I have a couple more assignments and tests to take before Monday, but it's going good. I know how to balance everything just because like throughout the sport of gymnastics, you learn how to balance like your own personal life, gymnastics life, and school. So kind of just comes with the sport.
Yeah. What are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in business administration.
Okay. And what do you hope to do with that?
Well, I have a couple things that I want to do. I want to do sports commentating. I want to be a real estate agent. But my main dream and goal is to be a HBCU head gymnastics coach.
Wow. And you can do all three. You can probably do all three at the same time. What do you think about that?
That would be very cool.
Morgan Price of the Fisk gymnastics team. She's a national champion, as a matter of fact, the first time that's ever happened at an HBCU in gymnastics, as she joins us here on Box to Row. So I was reading where you had committed, as a matter of fact, to the University of Arkansas, decommitted from Arkansas to join the new program at Fisk, which started last year. Kind of talk about that. And what led you to want to attend Fisk University?
Yeah, so I've done the sport since I was 2 years old. And as I've grown up, just, you know, living life, I realized the importance of, like, being able to attend and graduate from an HBCU. So I've always wanted to go to an HBCU, but at the time, I didn't have the opportunity. So that's why I committed to Arkansas, because I was like, okay, if I can't go to HBCU, I do want to be in the SEC, big powerhouse school. So that's why I committed to Arkansas. But then as soon as I saw that, like, Fisk was starting a program and it's like 30 minutes away from my hometown, which where all my family lives, I just felt like it was the right decision for me. And also the decision was like more than just like choosing a school for college gymnastics. It was, again, to like inspire the younger generation, but also to like let people know that just because I didn't go to like a big time school, like I can still win and compete against like other top schools.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at the history, and I think that's the thing. Like, you were familiar in your family. I think I was reading where your mother attended Vanderbilt, so you all were very familiar with Fisk University.
Yes, of course.
And it made it an easier decision, right? So speak to that. Take us through how it came about, you know, that you ultimately, I know what you said in terms of wanting to kind of inspire, but, you know, you Corrine Tarver is, mm-hmm. is your coach. I mean, I'm sure she had, and matter of fact, she's a history maker in of herself.
Right, of course, yeah. I would say I felt like it was the right decision for me. Again, like, I also, like, was taught a lot about HBCUs and just, like, why it's, again, important. And my reason is because, like, African Americans weren't even allowed to go to the same schools as white people. So I just feel like it's such an honor and a blessing to be able to bring my talents to an HBCU, and also just to make history as just being on the first HBCU gymnastics team ever. Like, no one could ever take that away from me, no matter how good or bad I did last season.
Yeah, and you're right. They can't take that away from you. Can't take away the national championship that you've ultimately won. Morgan Price joining us here for a couple of more moments here on Box Row. Take us through last year, because even last year you finished what? You finished eighth in the all-around. And yeah. You finished third in the particular competition, I believe, that you're in. You've had a really good freshman year.
Yeah, I had a pretty good freshman year. I'm very competitive, and I get that from my father. So last year I'm not going to say I totally wasn't happy with myself, but I really wish I would have performed better. So I knew over the preseason and the offseason, I knew how hard I needed and wanted to work so that this year I could get the title.
Yeah. What are some of the things, how do you, you know, having done it all your life, like you've done it all your life, like how do you go about taking those next steps to get to the next level?
I would definitely say something that really helped me this off season, like over the summertime, was training with Donald Driver. His daughter is one of my best friends, and over the summer, thankfully, I live in Texas over the summer, so I went to go train with Donald Driver, and so that really helped me a lot, helped me with my speed, my strength, you know, just my, like, just all sorts of things that, like, that people really wouldn't think of that I didn't even know that I needed to work on, but I could tell that really helped me with my gymnastics this year.
And those that are not familiar with Donald Driver, had an excellent career in the National mm-hmm. Football League with Green Bay, is another HBCUer, played his ball at Alcorn State. And you see, guys, that's how the HBCU connection thing kind of really works. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I know you're doing, you know, you're finishing up your sophomore year. I got it. Are you eligible to, it's probably too late, but do you have aspirations, at least in 4 years, to participate in the Olympics?
I'm not sure. You know, I've kind of thought about it here and there. For right now, the main focus is just college gymnastics and graduating, but you never know what the future holds, but for right now, it's just college gymnastics.
Yeah. So what's kind of your off season? Are you I mean, what's kind of your off season going to be like? I mean, I know you're going to be training and all of those kind of things. Do you train differently? Is there something else that you do that's different than what you did in the last off season?
So I'll kind of do the same thing as last off season. So I just finished the season literally like last week. So I'm going to give myself like 2 weeks off, just like rest, total rest for my body. But then once I get back down to Texas next week, I will start training back up again and more training, like conditioning wise, not really like flipping and skill wise. It's more of like conditioning, sprints, cardio, strength, and things like that.
What has the reception been like for you? Because I mean, look, Fisk is to the point, it's an HBCU, but it's a historical school. Most people, when you think, when at least when I think about Fisk, I think about the Fisk Jubilee Singers. Now it's Morgan Price. Like, she's a national champion. What has sort of the reception been like for you around campus?
It's been total support. Everyone will like send me pictures of like me on the news or something, like in the CAF. We have a TV and one of my teammates, well, no, not even my teammate, just like one of my classmates, like sent me a picture. She was like, girl, you're on the news in the CAF. And it's just like funny to see like me on the news in the CAF. Like, it's just really funny to me. But it's been total support. This school is like super welcoming and it really feels like a family there at Fisk. So I'm just happy to be there.
Morgan Price, again, national champion, first in gymnastics, first from an HBCU to do so, just wrapping up her sophomore year at Fisk. As a matter of fact, just 18 years old, and she joins us here on Box to Row. Morgan, really appreciate the time, because I know this has been a busy time with all of the interviews and the finals that you have and all of those great things. We appreciate the time. Continued success in all you do.
Yes, thank you.
Morgan Price joining us here on the program. Up next here on Box to Row, talking with some of the players that may hear their name called in next week's NFL draft, and we'll begin with Grambling's Sundiata Anderson after this small pause for the cause. This is Box to Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, you know, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high, you know, high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends, I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them to help them get to this place.
Hey, Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third-generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth, and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice. anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
The one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, what, 14 years. You can get to it. Man, you know what is good? And you're encouraging people to be better and do better. And that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the social, the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. Snoop, you football league has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have going to Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, a black college. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up-close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. Let's keep it moving here on Box to Row. We are a week or less than a week away now from the National Football League draft. We also like to, as we do each and every year, you know, going back to like 2006 when Antoine Bethea was drafted out of Howard by, of course, the Indianapolis Colts in the 6th round. We've talked with some of the top NFL or the HBCU players looking to hear their names called in the National Football League draft, and none better than to talk to, as we say hello to Sundiata Anderson. He was an HBCU All-American out of Grambling, had a really, really good season, preseason defensive player of the year as well. As a matter of fact, 3-time All-SWAC performer, as he joins us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Sundiata?
How you doing? I appreciate you having me here, Mr. Ware.
Absolutely.
Huge opportunity.
No, it's good for us. We love doing this. We've done it for quite some time. Now, I got to ask you. So, in essence, you played 6 seasons at Grambling, in essence.
Yes, sir.
Talk about that. That's not really, you don't really see that often.
I mean, nah, it's just been a great experience here, seeing 2 coaching staffs. And so, I was able to pick 2 great coaching staff mindset, which I, you know, feel helped me get myself to where my game is today. It's an HBCU, so no better crowd, I feel like, than you can be around. It's community love. By now, I know everybody in the city. So it's just amazing being from HBCU and being able to spend 6 of my years here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. You're from what, College Park, Georgia?
Yes,
right.
Sir.
So how did you end up from the ATL to – you must have seen that Celebration Bowl that Grambling won back in 2016.
That had a lot to do with it. We got a real big Grambling Atlanta connection, and you know, all the coaches came to see me my senior year in high school, and that was the year they went to the Celebration Bowl. And so them just coming in suits kind of helped tempted me a little bit. And them playing in the Celebration Bowl, you know, I kind of just pictured that's something I wanted to play in.
Now, my understanding is you played multiple sports while you were in high school. But now you only weigh, because you're at, what, 245 now. You know, we see you got some good size on you. You weighed 200 pounds coming out of high school.
I was weighing 200 pounds. I ran track. I played basketball. And then I also played baseball. So, you know, being so active, it wasn't easy to keep weight.
No, which is understood. But can you speak to being able to build up your weight to now where you're 245, which NFL scouts really like you, like what you can bring to the table as an edge rusher. But again, to be able to put on an additional almost 50 pounds, that's saying something.
Yes, sir. It's really just been a process. You know, you got your ups and downs, you got your good days, your bad days. But, you know, I try to do it the best way, try to eat healthy and, you know, try to set goals, because when I feel like I do that, I feel like I can kind of reach the weights and touch where I need to touch. And I kind of knew where I wanted to be around this point in my life, you know, having an opportunity to play for the National Football League. So when you got a goal set in mind, you're going to do everything to get there.
I know that's right. Sundiata Anderson joining us here on the program, hoping to hear his name called in next week's National Football League draft. You know, sort of for you, speak to this process. And even before I talk about that, the Shrine Bowl. You participated in the Shrine Bowl. What was that experience like for you?
It was a great experience just to be in a great atmosphere with a great program. You know, I appreciate Mr. Galco for allowing me to have that opportunity. And then in the Shrine Bowl, just having the athletes around me, you know, that's going to get a chance to play at the next level. Essentially playing around all pros. And so, you know, just being in there and able to compete with them, I wanted to be the best out there. And so, you know, I had to show out for HBCUs, I feel, and just to let the whole world know we have probably some of the best talent here.
Yeah, you did that. Like, you did just that. You represented because you got a lot of rave reviews. I want to know how you thought you did.
I mean, I feel like I had a great showing, be able to play multiple positions. I went from DN to Sam and outside linebacker. And so I feel like I had a great showing, was able to show all my abilities. But, you know, there's always something you could be better at. So a lot of the things I took away, I went back to work on this spring.
Take us through your time at Grambling. You played, you know, as a true freshman a lot of times. I mean, I don't know what the percentage of true freshmen that play at respective colleges, but it's probably not very high. So you were one of the few to be able to do that, which is great. But then you had sort of a setback. You got sick, as you were telling me, but then you ultimately came back to Grambling. Kind of take us through your years at Grambling.
Freshman year as a true freshman, it was amazing just to get out there and get my ears wet. I had some pretty good games against some teams in the SWAC. Alabama State had 2 sacks. So freshman year was just, you know, a great year to get my feet in the water and kind of get experience of college football. And then come back sophomore year, got sick. That's why the weight journey has been a journey for real. I ended up going from 240 to 170 my sophomore year, which I had to withdraw from school. Puts me into my junior year a little bit. And from that, that's 2021 has been up from there, first all-conference year. Just kind of was able to hone in on my skills. And then the next head coaching staff, he kind of taught me how to be a pro. And so I just been detailed about everything ever since. So 2022, blessed to make second team all-conference. And 2023, I think I stamped my college career in that.
Yeah, I think that's remarkable. I talked about from the time you were a high school senior to now putting on close to 50 pounds. But really, it sounds like you really had put these 50 pounds on in like a year and a half period. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Talk about that. I mean, that's some real hard work.
I came back from getting sick. I got diagnosed in October 2019. And so I was around 170, 169. So up until that January, I got back to 215. And ever since then, it's been a grind. I played my sophomore season at 225, 230. played my junior season at 230, 240, and played my senior season. Going into my senior season, I started the season 253. I played the year around 242, 245.
Wow, man, that is really saying something. Sundiata Anderson joining us here on the program. First team, HBCU All-America, three-time All-SWAC performer. Let me ask you about the pro day. Just take us kind of through that and how you felt you did on your pro day.
I feel like my pro day went amazing. I felt like, running I did pretty good. And then all the drills work, I did pretty great. And then, you know, my most exciting thing of the day, I had been training it, and I only hit it once in training, but to be able to jump a 38 and a half vertical in the 2 and 3 broad, you know, I felt pretty good about the day. I had some pretty good agility drills, some pro shuttle and the L drill, and then I had a good amount of attention in my field drills, and I think I did pretty good.
No doubt about it. Sundiata Anderson taking a couple of moments to join us here on the program. Teams, visits, who have you visited with to this point?
I visited up a few teams, a few on the list of Chargers, Falcons, and it's been an amazing process, honestly, in my opinion. Just being able to get to them teams and see, you know, the kind of type of facilities that I would possibly be able to play in one day, be able to meet the coaches and meet the GMs, and, you know, especially one being my hometown team, so I think it's been amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, the hometown team got to be giving you a lot of love, right?
Yes, sir.
What about the Saints? That's probably the nearest team to Grambling. I think so.
Yes, sir, it is. I mean, they love me down here. You know, love the opportunity to stay in Louisiana and play for them and see what happens with them.
Yeah, I know you probably, hey, whoever drafts me, I'm ready. I'm sort of ready to rock and roll. I'm sure that's your mentality. Take us through like a daily workout for you.
A daily workout. I start in the morning with the training room. You know, just getting prehab ready for the day. And then I get, well, you know, days are flip-flop, but, you know, some days I'll start in the weight room. Strength and conditioning coach is killing me now. But then start in the weight room and hit the field for conditioning. And then I go eat lunch and come back and watch film. And then after I watch film, I go back on the field for, you know, my craft. And so just working on everything I have to do to get me better in football on the field at the end of the day, and then get some good recovery and get some rest.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What have you enjoyed most about this process?
Probably just the experience. Well, the people I've met. The people I've met training. There's going to be some really great guys drafted this year. They've been amazing in my life and just meeting them, getting closer to God. And then, you know, the coaches I've met. It's been, you know, it's amazing people out here. So I just think the networking part of this process has been more than enjoyable.
How did you end up? Why? I know the coaches came to see you. I'm sure. I don't know if you had other offers or even more specific other offers in other sports. What ultimately made you choose Grambling State?
My mom's an HBCU lady. So she was like, she made me promise her I'd take one HBCU visit. So when it came that time, the first visit I actually took was to Alabama State. But I enjoyed the visit to Alabama State so much, I said, I got to go see the reigning SWAC champions. So next visit, I set up for Grambling State, and I instantly fell in love with the history, the culture. You know, you got Coach Eddie Robb, one of the best coaches of all time. And so it was just an amazing feeling being out here.
No doubt. What school did she go to?
Claflin University, a small school in South Carolina.
You couldn't go. They don't have a football program. You know, you could have gone across the street, right?
Yeah, could have gone across the street.
But nothing like Grambling. You had a chance to see Grambling, and so that's really good. So what are your plans for the draft? Where do you plan to be? Are you going to have a draft outing, a party? Are you just going to do what you regularly do? What is the draft time going to be like for you as you look to hear your name called?
I'm really just expecting to enjoy it with family. We'll say the party right after. I really, you know, personally, I want to spend it on the lake just fishing. Hopefully I can get that call. And so, you know, however it goes, it'll definitely be with family.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Sundiata Anderson, three-time All-SWAC performer, HBCU All-American, edge rusher, looking to hear his name called in the National Football League draft. Of course, played at Grambling. He is from College Park, Georgia. He joins us here on Box to Row. Sundiata, really appreciate the time. Great conversation, man. Continued success in all you do.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate you for this opportunity. It's been a great interview, and I wouldn't have wanted it no other way.
Appreciate it, Sundiata. Up next here on Box to Row, we're going to be joined by Alabama State's Mikey Victor.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
The others pretend. You're listening to the only sports talk show in America that actually cares what you've got to say. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
As we do each and every year here on Box to Row, we talk with some of the top HBCU players that could hear their names called in the National Football League draft, which starts next week. A 2-year starter at Alabama State, as a matter of fact, was second team all SWAC this past year. He plays corner. He is Mikey Victor, and he joins us here on Box to Row. He was also an East-West Shrine Bowl participant. Mikey, welcome to the program.
What's going on? Appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. This process, what has it been like for you ever since the end of last season?
It's ongoing. It's almost like chaos almost, but controlled chaos. And you know, everything is scheduled and everything's starting to line up. Went to Hula Bowl first and got the East West right after that. So a lot of things was, you know, building up to where it was, where it was going. Nevertheless, it was a good experience. I'm happy I went through everything I went through, you know, to this point. And right now, you know, all the training, all the 40s, all the stuff is, you know, out the window now. Now it's time to go play some football in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you seem to be enjoying this process.
Oh, yes, sir. Especially coming from a small school, not a lot of us get, that attention. So just embracing it and just making sure, you know, you leave a good taste in their mouth. You know, so next year they can go get another one.
Yeah. I feel you. You're doing your part so the next generation or next the year after and years after can have the same opportunities. And that is a phenomenal attitude. Your thoughts on the season as a whole, not you in particular, although we'll talk about your season, but in particular for Alabama State in 2023.
It was good. I felt like we left some money on the table. Nevertheless, it was a great season. You know, we caught heat later during the season. Unfortunately, we did not make the playoffs. So that's always hard. But it was good. I got a chance to play with my boys. You know, one last year before I got up out of there. Got to build. So hopefully next year they can go get it.
What made you attend? You're from Pomona. You're all the way on the other side. When you talk about you're from Pomona, California, okay, and you came to Alabama, to Montgomery specifically, and you had a path to get there. What ultimately landed you, and why did you ultimately decide to spend your last 2 years at Alabama State?
The people up there, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, Division One, any college, I like to say, you know, it's politics, you know, sometimes it's more business than anything. So what I like to say is when you find a spot that is good people in the building, real genuine, and you feel comfortable, that's where you need to be. It doesn't matter where it's at, but just you know, they made me feel good and good people, honest. You know, they had my best interest in heart. Great coaches, so you can't go really find that everywhere. So so now you get it and you got it right in front of you. I feel like you just got to take advantage of it and just ride with who rides with you.
Mikey Victor, as you heard him, Hula Bowl participant, East-West Shrine Bowl game participant. He's from Pomona, California. Spent his last 2 years at Alabama State, hoping to hear his name called in next week's National Football League draft as he joins us here on Box to Row. For you, speak to the coaching staff led by Eddie Robinson, of course, and you're right. It's a really, really good coaching staff led by Coach Robinson, who played at a high level in the National Football League. I mean, that had to be one of the draws for you also committing to Alabama State.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, just having people, you know, coaching you that really did it, you know, that's not normal. You know how it is. You know, some coaches, you know, really never played or just sat back and watched. So I'm just getting coached by somebody that has a foot in the game for a long time. Same as my position coach, James Williams. He was in the league for a little bit, went to Europe, played over there. Ryan Lewis, you know, great college player, you know, had a chance at the league. You go as far as on the offensive side, we had Jacoby Jones, wide receiver coach. So just getting knowledge from him and sitting in the room with him and talking to him and just seeing what he has to say about certain stuff, and you always get better with that. And if you're not getting better with that right in front of you, then you're really not using, you know, what you got in front of you. You know what I mean? So it's really hats off to the whole coaching staff, pretty much.
Yeah, Jacoby Jones. By the way, Jacoby Jones should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl when the Ravens, I thought, when they won the Super Bowl, he had a big kickoff return for a touchdown. A friend of the program played, of course, his college ball at Lane. So, y'all, you know, he can relate in terms of being an HBCU player and playing at a very high level in the National Football League. Coming out of Pomona, I thought it was interesting. You weren't recruited, per se. A zero-star player, as I read, turned yourself into a three-star JUCO player, right? Speak to sort of that process and people maybe kind of sleeping on you in high school.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at them. So, because I came from basketball and he played 1 year in high school. So just assuming that I was going to be somebody at that point, is kind of far-fetched. So, like, you know, you shouldn't bet on black at that point. You know what I mean? You know, you should play it safe. But just the whole part of just not having no stars or recruitment is going a little slow. I mean, that just helped me with staying on my line and just grinding pretty much with my head down and just, you know, looking up when I get there. It really helped me out a little bit.
Okay, so you say you were more of a basketball star. You played basketball, but only 1 year of high school football.
Yes, sir. Okay, I had to put it down. I have two brothers in the league, so they both was one was in college UW at the time. One was with the Steelers, so they kind of convinced me to pick up the football. Like, hey man, you don't have any you know offers in basketball, but I'm pretty sure if you pick up the football, you have a way better chance of, you know, getting a scholarship and, you know, making your dreams come true and going to the league and somebody's, you know, a sport, you know, it could be football. But I really wanted to be like a, you know, KD. So, like, that was pretty hard for me to drop the basketball and pick up the football, you know, but it's working out right now. So I got my paper, you know, no debt. So, like, that's crossed off, and now, you know, I could go to the league, you know, and something. So that's always a great thing.
No, it's a beautiful thing. Man, how was your game? Like, you had no stars by your name in basketball. It's not to say you're not good, but what's up with that? I mean,
I was amazing. I felt like I was really like a Kobe, like mid range on point, and I dunk on you.
Okay.
And I was a like a point guard. So like just imagining like Kobe Bryant having like hops like Ja. So that was me. But I felt like that right there, you know, everything happens for a reason. So all I could do is, you know, take my hat off to that. So just so it could open that door for football.
Yeah. Obviously, great athleticism. Mikey Victor, again, hoping to hear his name called in next week's NFL draft, joins us here on the program, plays corner for, or played corner, that is, for Alabama State. So now at UNLV, you were what, a strong safety? You made the switch?
Yeah. A coach named by, goes by the name of Trey Watson. He's at Cal right now. So he brought me in. He brought me in, and he told me, like, hey, we're not going to put you at this corner. We feel like, you know, you'd be a game changer at safety. So I went to safety, especially coming from JUCO, where I was just a cat coverage, you know, dime package, man-on-man. I really didn't know nothing about anything. So, you know, seam flat, curl flats, any of that, I just was oblivious to it. So, like, it took some time for me to pick up a lot. And from safety, they bumped me down to nickel. So so I played a little nickel. And during the whole season, I was at nickel. And I felt like nickel was pretty cool. And that's one thing that UNLV gave me. If nothing, they gave me knowledge of football, how to be played, and taking that to Alabama State and this, you know, and going back to corner. So now I know where my help is. Now I'm kind of like I'm like learning the defense off of, you know, what the safety does, what the nickel does. Okay, then that tells me what I do, and vice versa. That and it helped me a lot, just, you know, with the whole IQ things about it.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. What are some of the things, and I saw what a daily regiment looks like for you. Anybody that wants to know can check out Mikey's Instagram page. It's a really nice piece. I think that NFL Network did, if I'm not mistaken. It's really, really cool. Talks about his daily routine. But what are some of the things you felt like or felt like, because you're right, we're to this point, I know you're still working, but we're here in terms of the draft. And then, you know, beyond that, there's a lot more left. But what are some of the things you feel like you need to work on?
Just always good. You know, always could be when I say I'm a student of the game, I'm a student of the game. So it's levels to it. It's first grade, second grade, third grade. So I just feel like as long as I'm learning, keep on learning, that's something I always could improve on. Like, you know, I don't know everything. So just learn the game, you know, more and more. And I feel like on the field and stuff, I feel like I could get way better at pressing. I get way better at off. I get way better at everything. I feel like I'm not even touching the ceiling. I'm not even scraping the ceiling right now. So whoever picks me up, whatever team I lands on, then they getting a guy that, you know, that's haven't sprouted yet, and two, who he is. And that's like the best part about everything. You always want to see a flower grow. You know, sometimes that you don't walk outside and it's there. So I'm just hoping, you know, a team, you know, best on me and water the grass and see what's coming out.
6'3", 210 corner. I mean, that is phenomenal size with the athleticism, which is obviously one of the many positives about your game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jump out the gym.
Yeah. And then what else? What else do you feel like? Hey, I know you mentioned student of the game. Let me ask it this way. What do you feel like maybe something over the last year or couple of years that you felt like you needed to work on that you feel like, even though you're still working, you're pretty good at now?
You know, always catching the ball. I always never had a problem catching the ball at the point, you know, at the high point. Feel like I'm good at, you know, running, I'm switching hips, change direction. And I mean, I do feel like I do pretty good on line of scrimmage when it comes to, you know, pressing, shadowing, and all that other stuff, breaks. I feel like all that right there, you know, I feel like I got better and better every year.
Mikey Victor, again, he's an all-SWAC performer for Alabama State. Looking to hear his name called next week in the National Football League draft. He's from Pomona, and like he said, he's got that paper, meaning he's got that degree. He joins us right here on Box to Row. Mikey, we appreciate the time. We'll be looking forward to seeing you playing on Sundays next year.
Yes, sir. I can't wait.
My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Mikey Victor, Sundiata Anderson, Morgan Price for all joining us today here on Box to Row. If you missed any part of this show, you can log on to our website at boxtorow.com and listen to the podcast, or you can listen on the Box to Row YouTube page. And always remember to support those that support your Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.